This is Twa Teams One Street from the Evening Telegraph, the only podcast as obsessed with Dundee and Dundee United as you are. On this episode, we dissect Dundee United's first Premiership point in 4 years, Danny Mullins' arrival at Dundee sparks interest, and our bold Premiership predictions. Hello, I'm Callum Woodger, and welcome to another edition of Twa Teams. I'm back, but let's be honest, nobody cares, because we've got some actual Scottish football to be talking about. That's the important thing. Dundee United and St Johnstone returned to action last weekend, and here to talk through what went down at Tannadice and all the latest at Dens Park 2 is George Cran.
Hiya.
And Graham Finnan.
Hello, everyone.
Now, before we go on, we must say, like most of you out there listening, none of us were actually at the match on Saturday. But nonetheless, yeah, it was quite strange, but great to have the games back. We've all seen highlights, snippets of the game. Dundee United won, St Johnstone won. Do you think Mickey Mellon will be happy with his team's first competitive outing?
I think there was plenty to be positive about. The first half obviously was pretty strong. They came out strong, as they were kind of creating chances, and they were the better team. Elon obviously got the penalty, which maybe a wee bit of luck. You never know. In my opinion, it was a penalty, but These things happen. They go for you sometimes. And it was good to see Nicky Clark, I thought, as well. I think he's had to wait a long time to make his first Premiership appearance, and obviously got the goal and got him off to a good start. I was pleased to see that. I think that overall, he's probably a wee bit disappointed that they didn't kind of see it out in the second half, but I'd imagine he's quite happy with what he saw, and I'd imagine from a manager's point of view there's quite a lot to use going forward and build on, and he's obviously added another player as well, but overall okay, not amazing. They didn't get the win, but decent.
Yeah, and you've got to remember they are making a step up from the Championship to the Premiership, so Graham, to get a point against what is a very experienced St Johnstone team, a team who have made the top six countless seasons in the last kind of 5 or 6 years, should be looked upon as a decent start.
Yeah, I think so. I think Mickey Mellon will take the point and move on. I think you're right, Callum. St Johnstone, they're course and distant Premiership side, top six regular, you know, and you saw that. You saw that in the second half, you know, the way they played, you know, they weren't going to accept defeat, even though they were down to 10 men. They always felt they could get a point, and in the end, I think they probably deserved it. United will be disappointed, and as much as, although it's their first game, they've got the point, going off at half time, 1-0 up, St Johnstone down to 10 men, you know, points are hard to come by in the Premiership. And that was a real probably opportunity to go and get 3 points on the board. Yeah. But overall, I think Mickey Mellon can be quite chuffed with his lot. The defence looked quite compact. Ian Harkes had a great game in the middle of the park. Always said at the end of last season he had to step up to the plate in the Premiership. Well, he certainly did it in the first game, box to box. You know, you got United up the park, which will be useful in the games to come when maybe they're not so much on the front foot. Certainly, you know, you look for somebody to take your team up the park sometimes to give the defence a bit of respite. And it's a great start for him personally, so hopefully he can continue that. But overall, I think Dundee United can be quite happy. I think for Mickey Mellon, you know, the recruitment process will continue, and we've seen that this week. But we saw Lewis Nielsen coming in, and the biggest compliment I can pay to him is the fact I didn't really notice him actually playing. Yeah. Now for a young
kid, just looked at home, didn't he?
Absolutely, for a young kid to come on and just go through the game like that, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So well done to him. And also, we mentioned this last week. We actually asked what can we expect from Mickey Mellon? What can we expect from Dundee United? And we didn't really expect too much to change, because the personnel was pretty similar to what finished up last season. But I did see last week that he might revert to three at the back, and he did that, which was quite interesting. What's in his mind there, you know? So I'm just be interested to see going forward if he sticks with that three at the back, and maybe he feels it gives him a bit more solidity when they are under a bit of pressure. Overall, no, a good start for Dundee United, and good. They're off the mark in the Premiership after 4 years. They've got a point on the board. The last thing you want to be doing is sort of going a few games without getting any points. So they're off and running. So hopefully that's a sign of things to come.
And I think looking towards the season as a whole, it's quite a good start, because they obviously proved to themselves in the first half that they can make that step up to the top flight, a lot of the players, and can really hurt teams. But they also got that wee kind of the warning in the second half, or a lesson anyway in the second half, that if you make a mistake, that teams are going to punish you. And I think that might serve them quite well looking ahead. There's obviously going to be lots of tough games coming, but that might just kind of focus the minds a wee bit. They really know what's at stake here this season, back in the Premiership.
Yeah, spot on. I think United wouldn't have faced a team like St Johnstone in the Championship. No offence to the teams in the second tier, but the calibre of player, the organisation, the ability to do something like what Liam Craig did out of nowhere. Fantastic goal, absolute smasher. And to be down to 10 men at that point as well, it will make United sit up and think, you know, one little mistake, which is what the goal really does come from. You know, Mark Connolly maybe is watching that back and thinking, should have just smashed it, you know, behind for a corner or out for a throw, which I think in his defence is what he was trying to do. And it just got it completely wrong.
Just seemed to just dangle his leg out a bit.
Caught in two minds, a bit kind of half-hearted, clearing the ball. But it's these fine margins that could have made the difference, you know. Another positive, I guess, for United was seeing Benjamin Siegrist start between the sticks. He's massive for them, isn't he? You've seen he made a couple of good stops as well as the game wore on. You'll be crucial for them this season.
Yeah, good to see him back, because we did fear that he had a wee problem. It wasn't too serious, but I thought I might keep him out for the start of the season. But obviously he's fit and he played and he did well. You're right, he had a couple of important stops in the second half when St Johnstone looked like they might have gone on to collect the full points, you know. So hopefully he can keep up that good form going forward. I think, going back to Mark Connolly, I've got to say, I've watched the St Johnstone goal a couple of times. I think he's incredibly unfortunate. Mm-hmm. As you say, George, I think he's got no option but to dangle a leg out. I think on another day, that ball hits his boot and goes behind for a corner, or it goes back towards the player that's put the cross in. It's very unfortunate, actually. Spins over the top of his head. And even then, I've got to say, what a hell of a finish it was from Liam Craig. A great technique to lash that ball.
Absolutely.
He's got a great left foot, Liam Craig, but what a strike it was. Mm-hmm. Sensational. So it's a wee bit sort of harsh, I think.
Although he was left on his own, Liam Craig. There was nobody tracking him.
No, that's true. That's true. You can look at that, but still, you could throw a ball up in the air.
Yeah.
You know, from sort of 15, 16 yards, say, okay, go and have a smack at the goal. Yeah. I mean, 9 times out of 10, I might not finish on the target, but the way he lashed it past Benji Siegrist in the goal was sensational, and a great goal for St Johnstone. And I think probably, you know, deserved on their second half performance, the way they were going. The one thing I would say about Dundee United, they need to learn, they have to be better in possession. I think in the second half, they allowed St Johnstone with 10 men to dictate for long periods with a ball, and that can't really happen. That can't be allowed to happen. So that's an area I would say that they need to sharpen up on, keeping the ball better when you've not, you know, when it stops the opposition. They could have killed St Johnstone, but St Johnstone were able to keep the ball, get ahead of steam up, they get the goal, and they might have gone on, although United did have a couple of chances themselves. I think we've not even spoken about the man, Lauren Shankland, on this week's podcast, but I'm sure we'll be speaking about him in the future. but it just wasn't really his day. Didn't they get much of a look in? But the one he did, he had, I'm not sure if it was Jason Kerr, he turned him inside out, you know, and you're expecting him to burst the back of the net, and it, unfortunately for Lawrence, it just went wide and high sort of thing. So I wouldn't be too concerned. I've seen a few things in the paper, you know, saying this and that about, you know, maybe has he really got sort of what it takes for the Premiership. Let's wait and see this lad. I'm very confident he will get goals for Dundee United.
Yeah, I think you speak about that specific chance where it's Shankland-esque when he, obviously because he has Lawrence Shankland, but it's classic him. He turning Jason Kerr inside out like that and getting a shot off. I think on another day it ends up in the back of the net. I think that should give them not cause for concern, but actually cause for optimism that he's doing that to one of the best centre backs in the league from the last couple of seasons, certainly. And that going forward, he can score goals in that league, and we can't be judging him based on one game, one 90-minute performance, particularly with it being the first game of the season, an unbelievably bizarre season where the pre-season preparations have been quick and very, very, very strange and out of the ordinary. So I think once to get going a little bit, it'll be interesting to see how United shape up. I think that's what a lot of fans were eager to see, how Mickey Mellon's team would shape up. We talk about the sort of 3-5-2, the very subtle differences, because the personnel is very similar. You know, he brings in Lewis Nielsen for a start, does very well. Luke Bolton comes off the bench to make his debut, but other than that, it's the same personnel. You're seeing more guys like Cammy Smith comes off the bench and gets a chance. Logan Chalmers comes on for a bit. Ian Hark's taking up more of a attacking kind of focal role in the middle of the park, which last season he did at times, and I think I'm ready to kind of, you know, admit I was wrong if he can keep this kind of consistency up. But there's a lot of doubts from myself and others in the media and amongst the United support that he maybe wasn't going to be able to make that step up. But if he can keep up that level of performance, then he could be a very important player for Mickey Mellon. But going forward, Motherwell away on Saturday for United, that'll be, you'd imagine, even an even sterner test going away from home and the team who finished third in the Premiership last season.
Yeah, I like what Stephen Robinson's done at Motherwell. I think they're a really strong team now. But I think there's a wee chance there for United, because obviously Motherwell got beat up at Ross County. Disappointing night for them up in even quieter than usual Dingwall. So there might be a wee chance there for United to put a wee bit of pressure on Motherwell, because obviously the team they are and their aspirations for the season, when your first two games are against Ross County team that are probably expected to be towards the bottom, and then you're playing the newly promoted team in United at home, you'd hoped you'd get maybe 6 points out of that. So if United can kind of get in amongst them and start to put them under a bit of pressure, they might start to feel that a wee bit. So I think that after seeing the mould getting beat, I think I'm a bit more hopeful about seeing United go down there and maybe upset what is a good team. And obviously, Lauren Shankland, as you mentioned, all want to get off the mark. And we know what it's like. We've watched them for the past season at United.
No.
He doesn't go too many games in a row without scoring, so there's no reason why he can't get off the mark next weekend.
It'll be interesting to see now that they've got Ryan Edwards on board, what he does, Mickey Mellon, with his defence, because obviously you've got young Lewis Nielsen, who came in and did very well, but you would expect Ryan Edwards, if he's fit, certainly, to go straight in. It'll be interesting to see if Mellon sticks with the three at the back, because Motherwell, although they lost last night, I was watching the game in between doing my work, of course. They were really unfortunate not to take anything from the game. They had a penalty of their own, which they passed up in the second half, and they had a couple of glorious chances. Well, certainly one glorious chance to level, and they're a tough team with a good manager. You would expect them to be looking to bounce back from that defeat. They weren't third for no reason last season. They have got players there that can do special things on the park. So again, it's a real test for Dundee United going down to Fir Park. But I mean, United's defence did cope really well with everything thrown at them on Saturday. So against St Johnstone. So, you know, as long as what you don't want to do is give teams a head start in the Premiership, because it becomes very difficult. So just go down and continue in the same vein as they did against St Johnstone, and they should be okay.
Yeah, it's going to be a steep learning curve. We knew that already for the playing squad, but also for Mickey Mellon as well, being his first managerial job in Scotland, managing at the top level in the Premiership. It's maybe going to take United a wee while to get going, but points a good start. And bringing in a guy like Edwards, I mean, just looking at him, the physical presence, the size, That's kind of what you do need in the Premiership, and maybe in Mark Connolly and Mark Reynolds, they don't have that. They've maybe got more.
Well, they lost Watson last season, didn't they? He was probably the best header. So
absolutely, very good in the air was Paul Watson. So this could be a good replacement for them. And yeah, Motherwell will be a very, very big test. Lots of good players in their ranks. Looking across the road, no football on the horizon, unfortunately, for Dundee, but it's still all on the go off the pitch. Yeah, this week we've been speaking to, or well, George has been speaking to, former Dark Blues chief executive Harry McLean. He's been speaking about John Nelms, who's obviously the current managing director at Dens Park, sort of criticising him over a lack of communication with fan groups. George, an interesting chat with Harry about the current hierarchy at Dens.
It was an enjoyable chat with Harry. It's the first time I've met him in person. And it was interesting. He's obviously been in that job himself through the kind of defiant time, and knows kind of the pressures and the job that goes along with it. But he's also a big Dundee fan, and I think he's just been a bit worried about what's been happening over the past few months. And just wanted to kind of speak his mind, really. And there was a lot that I agreed with him with the kind of communication stuff. I don't think John Nelms is the best at. I think he's quite a private kind of guy, and that's just the way he seems to work. But I think that maybe there's a trick missed from the kind of owners of the club, that the especially right now when the club needs its fans, and then they've started the foundation and thing. I think there's maybe a trick missed that they could really get everyone pulling together and pushing in the same direction. And I think the foundation might be an opportunity or a kind of vehicle to be able to do that. I know I spoke to Ross Day last week, it's created the thing, the foundation is running it with the help of the club. He specifically said that's what he hopes might come out of it, because there's the DSA and the Sports Society and a few other kind of groups that in a perfect world would all be working together and helping the club. But there's a few, I think, personality clashes and things, maybe a bit of history with the current owners, that I would like to see people. It's kind of before my time, so I don't know 100% all that's gone on, but I'd like to see everyone come together and start kind of pushing together and get Dundee through what's obviously a really difficult situation at the moment with no income and no games for another couple of months.
Yeah,
and then only 27 games next season, so there'll be less money coming in next season as well. So I think there was some valid points about the communication that comes down from the kind of the hierarchy at the top of the club for what's happening, but that just seems to be the way that John Nelms does business. He's quite a private kind of guy, and he keeps things kind of close to his chest, which I don't see particularly changing anytime soon. But I would like to see the foundation maybe be able to bridge the gap that's been there between a few different parts. Particularly, well, the society's not got a huge membership these days, but it's got a big history of helping the club, and doesn't seem to be. I mean, everyone's seen the statements have come out from both sides when they were just talking that a few weeks ago. It's difficult, I think, the relationship between John and the society. I would like to see that possibly patched up somehow. And kind of the DSA is a good group, and get the views of Bear, who's obviously been around the club for a while and maybe knows the background of some of these arguments or whatever a bit better. But I don't know. It's such a difficult situation, but I would just like to see kind of what Harry said about people coming together under one table, at one table, and kind of work out some way of working together and make the club get through this and be a better club overall. I think that obviously the money that Nelms and Keys put in is incredible. I'd just like to see a wee bit more association with the fans, because the fans are the most important part of the club, really.
No, I've been off for a couple of weeks now, and it's heartening to see coming back, and the fans have came out in force to support the club with this 1893 foundation. Credit to Ross Day and everyone else involved in getting that set up, because you've got to come out and back your club in tough times like this, because they'll be missing supporters' money coming in various different ways. You know, fans will be used to coming and paying their gate money, paying their season tickets, or buying a jersey, or you know, pies and whatever else, and paying for, you know, DTV and whatever else is available. It's a good kind of alternative, different way to get money into the club. They've got what, over 500 members now. You're seeing thousands of pounds going in to the coffers every month, which, yeah, you know, tens of thousands of pounds might not seem like a lot of money in the grand scheme of things, but, but for a club like Dundee in its current situation, could be making a big difference. The general feeling now seems to be of everyone pulling together in the one direction, or at least trying to get onto the same page, which, like you say, George, you make some very good points there. I think that's what the club need. I think you're seeing that with, you know, even James McPake. He's became one of the members, which is obviously a great PR move for him and for the club. And but I think it is genuinely, knowing James the way we do, something he will have wanted to do anyway. He does have the best interests of the club at heart. He's got such a strong link to the club. And I think this, you know, this maybe could be out of such a bad situation as is lockdown, coronavirus, cuts, financial difficulties, things like that. The first step towards something really good one day. You might see something like fan ownership at Dundee, or fans having more of a say in how their club is run. You know, we have all these different entities, like you mentioned, the DSA, the DFC, SS, this new 1893 Foundation. They all have the one similar goal and interest, and that's just helping Dundee become better and achieving and becoming stable. So it's a positive, certainly. I think it's just getting that everybody to be singing off the same hymn sheet, which is so difficult to do. It's so difficult to do in any walk of life. But
no, there's always going to be disagreements and people with different opinions and stuff. But you're absolutely 100% right about it. There's one thing that brings everyone in this situation together, and they're all Dundee fans. Like you said, the foundation, my big hope is with the foundation that the people, the fans that have put money in, which is amazing because they didn't really need to do it. It's great, but I really hope they get some real value out of that. Some might just want the kind of rewards that are on the table, but there's also a hope that the value they get out of that is a closer relationship with the club and having more of a say on what's going on. And that's my big hope for it, that, because the fans are the most important part of the club. They'll be there. Owners come and go, but the fans are always there. And Dundee fans have stepped in before to help the club, and they've never been found wanting, of course. But that's the dream, that they're able to kind of have a say on what happens in the future. And that's my big hope for the foundation. I think it's a great enterprise and a great thing that Ross has started up. So fingers crossed it can continue to grow as the way it started.
The big problem you've got with fan ownership, right? And I've listened to what you've been saying. And Harry, going back to Harry, made a lot of valid points in his interview you did with him, George. But the big problem you've got with fan ownership is that with so many different factions and groups involved, it's very difficult to move forward, because everybody has their own idea where the club should move forward and what the money should be spent on. And you know, you go around in circles. That's the big problem when you don't have a head of the business as such.
Yeah, I'm not really advocating fan ownership per se, but just having more of an input, I think.
Harry made it, as I say, a lot of valid points in there. But, you know, the different sort of follows between different factions at Dundee Football Club is nothing new. It's been going on for years. You could go back and highlight several, you know, instances of that. But I think what we've got with John Elms and Tim Keyes You know, in the 7 years they've been there, they've gone about their business, you know, very, very quietly, and it's their prerogative to do that. It's their club. You know, you get, I mean, we've tried to get John, you know, to speak to us, and with very little success, I've got to say. But you do get the occasional interview. You do get the occasional posting on the website. You do get the occasional misplaced vote. And then, but I think
I thought we'd forgotten all about that.
I think what you need now, I would say at this point in time, I would say to John Nelms, now's the time to be overly active and keeping fans in the loop about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Fans are, you know, mm-hmm. It's a time where Dundee Football Club should be kicking off the season, but they're not. So it's up to the club to generate interest in themselves, to sell season tickets. And they need to go about that by, you know, being more proactive and getting their voice out there. You know, it's not a case, now's not the time for sitting back and keeping quiet and waiting to seeing what happens. You know, they've got to sell season tickets. They've got to keep this club sort of going. The 1893 Foundation is a great idea, and congratulations to Ross for getting it off the ground. I think it's good because it's not a one-hit cash injection. It's one of these things that is a steady stream of cash flowing into the club over a period of time, which greatly helps, you know, on a monthly basis. They know they've got this coming in, so it helps them greatly, you know, going forward. But fan ownership, I think, you know, that's the utopian world. But the big problem you've got with fan ownership is, you know, when the big bills come in, who's going to pay them? You look at Tim Keyes and you look at John Nelms and the money that the Keyes family have spent, you know, to cover Dundee, to cover the business over the last 7 years. You know, they've not been making money. So fans have got to be aware of that. But maybe, I think the communication between the club and the fans can be better, and I think it should be at this point in time.
I think it was more just a, you know, this could be years down the lane that something like that might happen, but it was more just to kind of, when I was saying that, is to, you know, fans want to have a say in how their club is run.
A lot every of fan's got a say on how their team
the lines up on the park, but I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. But
was there not a club down south tried that? There was some app that you could, the fans would choose the team and choose when subs went on and stuff.
Sounds like something Forest Green Rovers would do, some kind of hipster club like that. But, you know, I think fans just want a democratic say and then have to maybe, there is votes on certain things. You know, we've, as the 1893 Foundation raised X amount of money, we would like this to be spent on the academy, on, you know, renovating part of the stadium, on giving James McPake money for his playing budget, things like that. I think that always helps relations between the club and the supporters. The supporters feeling that they are actually making a proper difference and that they're not just putting their money in and leaving it in the hands of other people. They are having a, you know, democratic choice and decision over where money is going. You see it at other clubs, you see it at Motherwell, St Mirren certainly, and other clubs up and down the country I'm sure have similar things in place. But it's all positive. I think it's good to see after a long kind of period of bickering and back and forth across the divisions to see Dundee supporters showing what's really good about football, and that's supporters and their passion for the club. So good luck to them. Some on-pitch news just breaking now. Dundee have signed Danny Mullen on a two-year deal, lads. Great acquisition, former St Mirren striker. I know him very well. What are we making of that? Someone who was linked with the club kind of last season, wasn't it? During last season, I'm sure at some point in January, wasn't he?
First and foremost, it's a great bit of business. I mean, James McPake obviously tried to get him before, didn't he? So, I mean, he's obviously keen on the lad. And it's good news for Dundee to get a player of that quality in. And I think it's good news for Kane Hemmings, because I think you'd be a perfect foil up front for Kane Hemmings. I think, you know, Kane Hemmings needs somebody to do the work around him. And I think Danny Mullen fits that bill perfectly. I mean, you'll know more about him than me, Carl. I mean, what do you think he can bring to the club?
I mean, for a start, great to get him on a two-year deal. He's at a good age, 24, 25, I think, not 100% on that, but certainly in his mid-20s. Lots of pace. You know, he's not a prolific scorer, but he's good for a goal. I think you'll see a lot of hard work, energy. It's spectacular. The one goal that always sticks in mind for me is the one he scored against St Johnstone last season. The ball falling out the sky, you know, 20, 30 feet in the air and dipping down and him hitting it on the full volley with his weaker foot into the top bag. So he's got the spectacular in his locker. He works hard. I think he'll endear himself to supporters and Kane Hemmings, who's you know, an out-and-out number nine. Mullen is more of a kind of nippy striker, small, quick, playing in behind the main man, the target man, which will probably be Hemmings. So certainly a good bit of business for Dundee and a positive for the supporters to see that the squad sort of being shaped now after Lee Ashcroft coming in, of course. What are you making of it, George? Danny Mullen, just news just breaking there.
I think, are you still there, George? You got other business at home?
I am. It's just the perils of working at podcasting from home. I'm currently babysitting a 2-month-old baby, and she's just woken up. So just as Danny Mullen arrived, it's so she's celebrating. She's
delighted. Ellie's obviously delighted with that signing.
She's happy about it.
Great news.
I stuck the mute button on to try and cover it, but then you asked me a question. So,
I didn't see that. Right. But yes, what are you making of Danny Mullen? Good signing.
Yeah, I think I like him a lot. I was always surprised he never got as much a chance with your boys the last couple of seasons. So I like him. He's a real hard worker. He's got good quality. I liked him when he was at Livy.
Yeah,
I think I agree with you. I think that's a really good bit of business. He was obviously very close coming right at the end of January. I think they just kind of ran out of time. I think I can't remember what happened. I think Simon kind of delayed a wee bit and they just ran out of time. I think they were trying to get all the strikers in. And yeah, he's obviously a player they know well. It's the way James McPake likes to do his transfer business. He does a lot of homework on them, and so they've obviously been keeping an eye on him since then. Really positive news, because Kane Hemmings will still be the main man, but they've got a very capable kind of secondary striker that you'd expect double figures from him next season. Although there's less games, obviously, but double figures.
No pressure then, Georgie.
I know. Well, you need double figures, don't you?
I think he's certainly got the potential to do that, and having spent the last couple of seasons in the Premiership, albeit sort of in and out the side at St Mirren, he managed to get 5 or 6 per season, so getting double figures in the Championship shouldn't be too much of a problem. I remember when he was first brought into the club from Livingston halfway through St Mirren's promotion season, he came in and made a huge difference to the way our attack worked. He added a lot of energy, I think, when the side were running out of steam. So I think he'll endear himself to the supporters massively, and he fits in with the character of the squad. I think Dundee have got a tight-knit squad, a hard-working squad, and I don't think you'll get any less than 100% professionalism from Danny Mullen. And he's a good laugh to interview as well, so that'll be good for us. So delighted with that. Moving on quickly, because we've
I think,
spent Carl, just, a bit
just quickly,
time.
I think the good thing is...
Okay. Game tell, Bill.
Yeah, just on Danny Mullen, I think the good thing is they're getting a player they know. You know, in the same with Lee Ashcroft, is a player they know can do a job for them. Yeah, sometimes, I mean, we're in a situation here where we know finances very tight.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes you can end up bringing players in from down south who don't really know the area, don't know, you know, the league itself. But in these two signings, they've got two guys who are acutely aware of what the Championship is and what it's all about.
Yeah.
And I think that'll help them slot into the Dundee team, you know, quite smoothly. That's a really good signing for Dundee, and fans will be delighted to see him coming in.
Yep, perfect. Definitely fits in with what James McPake's done over the last year or so, signing experienced guys who know Scottish football. So yeah, good luck to Danny and Dundee for next season. Moving on to the next section of our podcast, we're going to look at the Premiership and make a few predictions. Yep, the Premiership returned this weekend. We've already spoken briefly about it with Dundee United and St Johnstone, but of course we've had the other 10 teams in action as well. We've seen them all once now. I'm going to ask you lads to make a few predictions, and I'm going to ask Graham first, because I can see George has still got his mic on mute, obviously having some babysitting problems. We'll start off with, which I'm quite an easy one, I'm sure. Graham, who's going to win the Scottish Premiership 2020-2021?
Well, I can only be Celtic for me at the moment, Callum. I still think I think that they're a good two or three players ahead of Rangers as things stand.
Mm-hmm.
They have just too much in their locker. I think they've got too much firepower all across the park, from midfield to up front. And the games that are tight, they always seem to come up with a goal. And while Rangers, obviously there's talk that Morelos could go, which would be a serious blow for Steven Gerrard and for Rangers, but I'm sure they would bring someone else in. I think Rangers still need more from the middle of the park, more goals from the middle of the park, more goals from the wide areas. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a hard one for the Rangers fans to take, but for me, if I was putting any money on, and I'm not a betting man, but if I was putting money on anyone, it would be Celtic.
George, much the same for you. Celtic to win the Premiership again, 10 in a row.
Yeah, Ellie reckons Celtic as well. She's although she thinks that maybe they might lose Edward when we kind of get towards the end of the window. I think they might be down south having a wee look. And
yeah, but I would say that as well. I'm sorry for jumping in on your bit there, but even if they do lose Edward, I still think they've got they would recruit and bring someone else in, but they've still got, it's the goals in the other area that make the difference in games, you know. So
yeah, no, it doesn't change my prediction. Yeah. I think it may even it up for other teams It doesn't change Ellie's prediction either. She thinks Celtic are going to win the league. Rangers will be second, and then there'll be a big gap between the rest. I think the gap's growing, although Morelos is an interesting one, whether they keep him and replace him. That's also an issue for Celtic if they keep Edward and replace him if he goes.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't see it past Celtic. I think they're just far too strong.
Yeah, well, there's Ellie's agreeing there. I can't see past Celtic either, I have to say. 100% agree with you, Graham. Having watched Celtic sort of dismantle Hamilton at the weekend, was it 5-1? And to be honest, it looked like they could have done a lot more than they did. You know, they barely got out of second gear.
Yeah.
So that's got to be a warning to the rest of the division. Whereas Rangers, as much as it was a difficult opening game away to Aberdeen, I think they do. You look at their squad and you look at what they've got and the options they had on the bench, albeit decent options. I don't think it was quite, you know, Celtic were bringing on guys like Olivier and Cham off the bench. Klamala comes off the bench and scores a goal. I think, like you say, Celtic are just a kind of couple players ahead of Rangers.
Also, Callum, I also think that if Rangers do start putting the heat on Celtic, Celtic have got a war chest here where they can go out. They've got a bit of cash here. They can, more than any other club, and can go and spend and bring in two real quality players, which could make a huge difference, you know. And no other club can really afford to do that. So they've got that up their sleeve if they need to do it. They might not need to do it, you know, but it's hard to see past them.
Yeah, and that core of their squad as well, guys like Scott Brown, James Forrest, Callum McGregor, other players like that who've been there and done it the last five or six seasons, that experience is invaluable. So I can't see past Celtic making it 10 in a row and winning the league. At the other end of the division, what's your prediction, Graham, for the team to get automatically relegated to the Scottish Championship?
Well, it goes against the start they've made, but I'm going for Ross County to take the drop, I'm afraid. I just don't think they're strong enough. I mean, I think there'll be the usual suspects down there. I think Hamilton will be down there. I think I'd be very surprised if Livingston aren't down there. I think they had a wonderful season last season, but mm-hmm. I think trying to match that could be tough. But I've just got a sneaking feeling that, you know, when push comes to shove, those two teams will keep their heads above water, and it'll be the guys from Dingwall who will take the drop. I just feel that the defence is a bit weak. I'm nothing against Cole Donaldson, but it's not him in particular. It's the whole sort of the back four and the goalkeeper. Although they have, I noticed they did sign Ross Doohans, who from Celtic on loan. Yeah. I'm a big fan of Ross Doohan, so I think he might make a difference. But I think when all the sort of games are played, it'll be Ross County that are at the bottom.
Yeah, George. Any thoughts on who's going to go automatically down?
I'm going to go for it. I'm going to say Hamilton. I mean, stay above.
I'm glad you
past
said
five
it.
Five seasons, but I think the shutdowns hit them quite hard. I think they've had to release quite a few players and bring a few in. They've obviously got their usual team full, chock full of youngsters, and I hope they do well and kind of grow into a team, but I think it might just be one season too far for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think my initial thought was a lot of worry about my own team, St Mirren, and our prospects for next season, but in the last kind of...
You've made some good signings.
4 or 5 weeks, yeah, Jim Goodwin has done exceptionally well in the transfer window. I think he's brought in some really good signings. Up front, they maybe need a little bit more, but you know, they performed well on opening day, and I'd like to think they would stay up. So for me, I'm going to say Hamilton as well. Just think it's I can't believe I'm saying this because I say it most seasons, but I think it's just got to be their year. They always defy the odds, but I still think Livingston have got a lot of quality in their camp. If Ross County can keep hold of the likes of Ross Stewart, Michael Gardine, some of their better players, then they'll be okay. The other question mark I have over is Kilmarnock. I think they've lost a lot of good players and not necessarily replaced them with like-for-like quality yet, and there's still the potential for them losing a few more players in the window. So they're always a team that can yo-yo between being one of the best in the division and being fighting relegation. So Hamilton, but I think there'll be a few others in the mix. I think it'll be tighter than ever at the bottom. I don't think it's going to be as clear cut as it has been the last couple of seasons or so. One last thing I want to ask you boys is sort of just list your top six. So we all, you know, we both know that you're going with Celtic as the winners, but beyond that, how do you see the top six panning out from 1 to 6, Graham?
Well, it's going to be Rangers. Rangers, they may get a bit closer to Celtic than they have in the past, but I mean, it'll be crushing for them. Second, as one Dundee owner once said, second is nowhere, and that really will be nowhere for Rangers this season. But yeah, you would expect Rangers to finish second. I'm going to go for Hibs in third. I like Jack Ross as a manager. Mm-hmm. I think he's got an exciting team there. Again, I think they can score goals, but also I think they can concede goals. So it's not rocket science. If they score more than they concede in most games, they should be okay. But I think they've got the potential to make it to third. Motherwell, again, not the greatest start from them. Good manager, though. It all could hinge on whether Stephen Robinson stays at the club. Obviously, he's been linked with Bournemouth. I think if he stays, they can rightly think they can get fourth. Aberdeen, slide, possibly, down to fifth. I do think the lack in certain areas, goals in the team. Obviously, Sam Cosgrove was big for them last season. It'll be interesting to see if he stays. But even if he does, the goals dried up a wee bit towards the end of last season. So he'd really need to be firing like he was in the first half of last season for them to go any higher. But I would go fifth for them. And I'll go for the course and distance guys, St Johnstone, still to be there in sixth spot. They've still got a core there that are tried and tested in the division, a core there of players who can defend when they need to defend, and a core there of guys who can get goals. I like young Callum Henry up front. Craig Conway coming in is a major addition for them.
Definitely.
And I think they will again make the top six.
George, 1 to 6 for you?
Very similar. Celtic, Rangers... Fancy Hibs for third.
George, that's my list you've got there.
Well, I put it in the paper last week, so you must have read it off me. No, I fancy if Jack Ross could sort out the defence at Easter Road, then they've got the firepower to go into third. Martin Boyle, obviously formerly of this parish, should be a big player for them this season, I think. Having him fits brilliant for them. Then I fancy Motherwell and then Aberdeen. Which sounds similar to what Bears just said. But and then I think sixth is totally up for grabs. I think St Johnson, Dundee United. I think Livy might be all right this season. I know you don't really fancy them, Bear, but and who else is left? I'm not sure about Ross County. I think they'll be towards the bottom.
What I think about Livia is I think they're not the surprise package they were last season. The London Dykes thing is kicking around. I'm not sure if he'll still be there, you know, by the time the transfer window closes.
I just find them such a tough team.
But I mean, I don't expect them to be in the relegation zone. But I don't think they'll reach the heady heights that they did last season, and maybe. You know, they could just be above the relegation zone, shall we say, drop down a few places.
I think the sixth place is up for grabs for probably the four or five teams below. I think anyone, if somebody puts together a good run.
No, I didn't.
Thinking back a few years to Partick Thistle, a few years back.
Calum, I think you're right. I think St Mirren, I think Jim Goodwin's recruited really well. Yeah, and I think St Mirren fans can, you know, go into the season with a real sort of air of positivity, and they'll be looking forward to actually getting to the ground to see their team, because I think he's brought on a bit of flair, you know, and a bit of grit. And obviously, as a manager himself, I really like Jim Goodwin. You know, he could have at one point been Dundee manager a while back, if I remember rightly. But
who said that?
Yeah, I think he'll do well. So yeah, keep an eye out for them. There is prospects here.
Well, if you like that, you'll like this extremely biased prediction I'm about to make.
What's the moment saying?
Celtic to win the league, of course. Rangers to finish second. I do think Aberdeen will make a sort of bounce back from what was a slightly disappointing season last season, albeit Motherwell were fantastic, and finish third. I think Johnny Hayes is a good player to get back in. I think if they can get Sam Cosgrove fit and hold on to him, they'll be fine, and I think they'll finish third. Fourth, I'm saying Hibs. Fifth, I'm going to see St Mirren. An absolutely wild prediction for
Tony Fitzpatrick come into this podcast, is it?
Why not? Well, we all know these are predictions, just a bit of fun and something to look back on and laugh at the end of the season.
We will look back on them. I've got them all written down here.
And in sixth spot, I can't believe nobody said it yet, I'm going to say Dundee United to finish in sixth. Top six, Mickey Mellon.
I think they've got a chance too.
They, St Mirren and Dundee United.
Get Warren Shankland firing, they've definitely got a chance.
Quite seriously, I think St Mirren and Dundee United are among the teams that do have a chance of finishing sixth. But it's a prediction, let's have a bit of fun, why not? St Mirren fifth, Dundee United sixth. That's how I see it going. As mental as I am. One last question for you, George, before I finish the podcast. It just dawned on me there while Ellie was sort of singing to us in the background. Who is Ellie going to be brought up to support? That's a big question for me. Born in Dundee, she has a choice of either City team. You, of course, are a Queen of the South fan, and your lovely wife Nadia is Bulgarian. Does she have any interest in Bulgarian football? Or
her father was a Levski Sofia fan.
Levski Sofia fan. So. Has anything been decided yet, or let her choose?
Well, we need all the Dunhamers we can get, don't we?
Yeah, I suppose.
George, you're not going to do that to the lassie, are you? Get her a Queen of the South strap.
Well, she's already stuck with me as a father, so can't get any worse, can it?
Stephen Dobie will surely be retired by that point, eh? She'll have nobody to watch.
Well, Stephen Dobie is our middle name, so she probably will be a Dunhamer.
All right. Aye, okay. That's a strange Bulgarian naming tradition there. Okay, well, thank you everyone for listening to the podcast, and we'll see you next week with more games to discuss, and I'm sure some off-field talking points at Dundee as well. Goodbye.
If you like the podcast, we'd be grateful if you tell your pals about it, or even better, leave a review or a simple rating on iTunes or wherever you find your podcasts. All that really helps people find Twa Teams One Street, and that means a lot to us. Don't forget to pick up your copy of The Tilly Monday to Saturday for all the latest from Dens and Tannadice, or go to thetilly.co.uk to find out how you can get the paper delivered right to your door.